Amen. Take your Bible, if you would, this morning. Go with me to the book of Daniel and chapter number one in your Bible. The book of Daniel and chapter number one. How many of you are ready for fall? I'm ready for fall. I grew up in a town where it gets 200 inches of snow every winter, and I miss it. Amen. And Oklahoma, we see snow every once in a while, and it's gone by noon, you know what I mean? And I just wish it would stick around. We had a storm. I told the story, we had a storm. Some of you remember maybe back, I think about 2010, and we had about 2 feet of snow on the ground here in Oklahoma for a couple of weeks. Amen? And nobody knew how to drive. All there were cars in the ditch all over here by the. I thought they were all coming to church. I was wrong, and but they were all out there, and I tell the story like a grandfather says. Remember back in the days when we had 2 feet of snow back there, you know? Some of the kids are like, really? They didn't know Oklahoma was capable of such things, but. I do miss snow. If you grow up in a certain area, you just like it that way. If you grow up in the heat, you don't like the snow, right?
Amen.
If you grew up in Texas, you just don't like what's right and good and decent in life. No, I'm kidding. You got to know me. I like the kids sometimes. Amen. But boy, I tell you, through it all in life, God is good. God is good. If you haven't figured that out yet, he really is good. God is good in everything. Well, I want to draw your attention this morning to the book of Daniel. The Bible tells us about Daniel that he is one person that never anything in all of the Bible says anything bad he did. He was a success in life from a teenager all the way up through. And I want to look at Daniel's life today. But I want to speak to you on this subject, mainly honing in on the young people. And I want to speak on this subject today, living for God when you're young. Living for God when you're young. Let's begin Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1. Follow with me, please, as I read much of this passage of Scripture. And let's begin with verse 1. The Bible says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim of Judah into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Notice little g, God, is a false god. Verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave Daniel the name Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and of Mishael, Meshach, and Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, the prince of the eunuchs, had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to drink and water to drink, pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding and all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among all them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even into the first year of King Cyrus. Now hold your finger there, please, and go with me to the book of 1 Timothy. Book of 1 Timothy in the New Testament and chapter number 4. We're going to look at one verse, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. And the Bible says here, just this one verse, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings as we open your word this morning. God, we just ask that you'd teach it to us. That, Lord, you'd give us an open heart to hear thy word this morning, and thy Holy Spirit's voice speak to our hearts. We know that, Lord, you speak through your word, and so we ask this morning that you'd speak to us and convince us, Lord, of thy truth by the Holy Spirit today, and meet with every need. And I pray you'll bless the word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. The story of Daniel is one that many Christians are familiar with, but we don't always see what it took for Daniel to come out as this example that we hold him up to. Daniel, you see, was pulled up from his home in Jerusalem at the same time we call it the Babylonian captivity. And it's a time in 586 BC when the children of Israel had turned away from God, and God allowed for the enemy to come in and to take them away to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was this great king of Babylon, one of the great kingdoms of the world, probably the greatest kingdom at the time. Babylon swoops in and they take away all captive, all these people, bring them to Babylon, and they end up serving them there at least for 70 years. And so this is the time that Daniel and his 3 friends, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, that they renamed them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it's the same time that these four, are taken away from their home. Imagine someone coming into your home and taking all of you away out of your home, putting you, your whole family, in prison, taking you 500 miles away to a land and a people and a religion and a society, a culture you've never known before. They were in a place of an unknown tongue. And they were actually separated from their parents because they were looking for skillful young people, wise young people who are just intelligent and had learned things. And history tells us that Daniel and his 3 friends, they were teenagers about this time, maybe 18, maybe 19, but they were teenagers at the time that they had come in and pulled them out of their home and take them and brought them 500 miles away to Babylon to serve a false god, a false king, and a country and a culture and a language they didn't even know. And the story goes on to tell about Daniel, and it tells us that he goes before the king, and the king wants to give him his meat and his wine because the king thinks that this is the best thing for them. They're gonna really do well physically if they have my meat. But Daniel had been raised where God had told them and the Jews the dietary laws of the time, and he growing up followed those dietary laws because he believed that's what God wanted him to do. And so he went to the king and he said, King, if you will not let us eat your food, I'm on a purpose in my heart not to touch that, but if you'll just feed us pulse, which is really vegetables, if you'll give us these things, and he's saying what meets our dietary law, if you feed us that, then we will check us out, see if we're not physically healthy. But Daniel wouldn't defile himself. Now, what's interesting about this story is that Daniel is an 18-year-old that really has no one to support him. His family's gone. He has nobody around him to just give him the help and the strength that he needs. But Daniel's making this choice in his life that he's going to serve God and live for God while he's young. I want to tell you something. There's something special about a young person that's on fire for the Lord. Amen. There's something amazing about that. And that verse we read in 1 Timothy even teaches us that when a young person in a church, he is the example to the church. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. And young people, I want to tell you something. When the fire of God gets into the soul of a young person, boy, they start living for God, start doing right and standing out as a testimony for God. I want to tell you something. There is something powerful about that. There's something special. There's something really amazing when you see a young person not want to act like the world, not want to live like the world. They want to repel all the junk that goes on in the world. I'll tell you, there's something special about a young person like that. And that's kind that Daniel was. He was a young man in a strange land. He could have followed the heathen ways. He could have followed the heathen rules. He could have done whatever he wanted to do. Nobody had an eye on him. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. I want to tell you something. Young person, we may live in a bad world today. And we may live in a world with influences. The phone, the television, the ungodly teenagers. You may live in a place like that. But let me tell you something. If Daniel did it, you can live for God too. Amen. You can live for God. It doesn't matter all your circumstances. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter how bad you have it. Hear me. You got to live for God in this life because living for God is the only thing that's going to matter when you're young. You know, the world tells a young person, you know, when you're young, you got to go live it up and live the party lifestyle and have a lot of fun in life. That's what the world will tell you. That's not what Daniel will tell you. That's not what he'll say. He'll say it's worth it to serve God. It's worth it to live your life decent and pure. Yeah, you know, it's dead fish that float downstream, but you have to be a live fish to go against the current. Amen. And may I tell you what? That's what Daniel was doing. He was going against the current of the current world. He wasn't going to just float down the stream with everybody else. He was going to fight the current, and he was going to stand for God. And let me tell you something. God blessed him in a great way. Amen. Wonderful. How many of you remember the old OU football player, Brian Bosworth? How many of you remember Brian Bosworth? Man, he was a football player. I'd hate to get hit by that guy. He'd knock me into next week, I'm telling you. That guy was awesome. I watched him hit hit 200-300-pound running backs and knock them backwards. He was something else. But he had a reputation back in his Bible college days. He was a wild dude, party style. I mean, and who's going to mess with the boss? I mean, he's got all the girls. He's got all the time. I mean, he can do whatever he wants to do. He can live it up. You know, he was a man that may have been able to hit hard on the football field. I want to tell you something. He didn't live for God. What's interesting about Brian Bosworth is I recently watched a documentary as Brian Bosworth now is 30 years later. He's in his upper 50s, maybe even his lower 60s. I'm not sure. But the Boz is an old guy now. And Brian Bosworth tells this story of what he did, and he revealed in this interview some of the dastard things that he did. But Brian Bosworth said this, and the whole story was highlighted around the regret that Brian Bosworth had for the way he lived and the things that he had done in the way of his life. And you could just see downcast eyes in that interview, a face that was downcast. And he actually said in an interview, I regret so many of the things that I did and so many of the ways I live. You know, that's sad. And you know what's sad? It's because when you get old, you want to look back at the younger years of your life and not have regrets. You want to look back at your younger years and say they were filled with fun times, joyful times, happiness, because I made the right choices when I'm young. Young person, you don't want to live today so that you have regrets of how you live tomorrow. You want to live today living your life for the Lord. And I want to show you just a few things in this message, and then I'll be done, about how Daniel lived for the Lord when the circumstances were against him. He was taken away from his home. But the first thing is I want you to see, he never forgot his God. He never forgot who he was serving. He never forgot him. He was in a whole different country and a whole different culture, and no adult over him, nobody there to tell him right from wrong. But you know what he did? He did right anyway. He didn't forget his God. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven who's watching us at all times. And you know what? He's beholding the evil and the good. Our God is watching us. And God wants us to choose him over this old world. This world has nothing to offer but regret, like Brian Bosworth had. He didn't live for God. He lived for the party. He lived for the fun. He thought that would bring him joy and happiness. But as he lived his twilight years, it brought him regret and defeat. And can I tell you what? When you and I get old someday, by the way, I'm not old. Amen. But when we get old someday, I want to tell you something. You want to look back at a life you've lived with no regrets. You want to live like that. Do you know who your God is today, young person? He's the God who saved you. He's the God who gives you a home in heaven. He's the God who, when you opened your heart to him and put your faith and trust in him, he's the God that will guide you through every temptation. He'll guide you through every trouble in life. That's the God. Don't forget him when you find yourself in places or in situations when you're pulled away from all that you know. Don't forget him. I went through kind of a three-month time in my life when I was a teenager where I didn't really care. I wasn't really interested in spiritual things. I was saved, and I'd known the Lord, but there was a three-month time in my life when I didn't care. And I'll never forget My pastor got up on time and he had a big long finger. And he had held that finger out like that and he was preaching. He said, "You young people, you better do right because the devil's trying to sift you like wheat." And he put that old bony finger out there. And my old heart took it for truth, for reality. I said, "You know what? I can't live the way I'm living anymore. I can't do this." I'm simply saying to you today that Daniel lived a life young so he didn't have to have regret when he was old. Number two, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Notice that in verse number 8. It says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat." Daniel said, "I'm not going to do that." He purposed in his heart. Now, what kind of teenager would say, I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to do that. He knew what God had wanted him to do because he was raised in the right way. And when he got out on his own, he held to what he was taught. He held to it. You know, I heard a sad statistic. 80% of the kids that grow up in church today do not return to church after they're 18 years old. 80%. Now, I don't know if that number is exactly true, but it would be a sad number if it were 10%. So I'm simply saying to you today, young person, there's a day coming when you're going to get out on your own. There's a day coming when you're going to get behind that wheel. There's a day coming when you're going to get that apartment or go to that college or do that thing, and there may not be somebody over you. Do you know your God? Do you know your God? He'll be good to you. He'll be faithful to you. He will help you. He will guide you if you let him lead you in your life. But purpose in your heart that you're not going to defile yourself in this whole world. Purpose it. Purpose it. He had that, we used to call it grit. He had grit and some expressions. He had grit in his craw. You ever heard that one? Some of the young people have no idea what I'm talking about. But he had grit in his craw. He would not defile himself. And there's three areas he wouldn't defile himself. The first area is he would not defile himself in his purity. He would not defile himself in his purity. Can I tell you something? That young people, this world will tell you, just do whatever feels good. Boys with girls, girls with boys. And let me tell you, it even tells you boys with boys and girls with girls. Hear me, don't defile your purity. Your purity is a precious thing. Your purity is a precious thing. Don't take it and throw it in the garbage can. Save yourself for the one that God has let you marry someday. Save your purity. You say, "Brother Larson, that's old-fashioned." You better know it is, and I'm going to preach until the day I die. Because I'll tell you, I've seen a lot of young people lose their purity, and when they get old, they regret it. And they have to live like that. Young person, it is not worth it. Purpose. Hear me, purpose in your heart that you're not going to defile your purity. Your purity. Young ladies, you are too precious to let some ungodly person, some ungodly boy, paw all over you. You are. Save yourself for the one when you get married and walk down that aisle. Amen? First time my wife and I held hands was at our wedding rehearsal. And I almost shook her hand. We didn't even hold hands. till we were 21. We dated 3 years. I couldn't do that, preacher. Yeah, you can. Yeah. And it was strange holding her hand. We were at the wedding rehearsal, and I lost my mind at what was going on around me. Preacher said, hey, over there, wake up. Preacher said, son, hold her hand. Don't shake her hand. I didn't know. I hadn't held her hand before. But I liked it. Amen? And let me tell you something. You can be pure in an unpure world. Yes, you can. If you'll purpose in your heart. Amen. My preacher said, you know what high heel shoes are for? They are weapons to knock some boy in the head when he tries to put his hand on you. I like that. See, this old world will leave you clouded. This old world will leave you defeated. This old world will leave you, drop you alongside the road. You are more precious than that. Yes, you are. Live your life pure. Secondly, he didn't defile himself with his promise. He didn't defile his promise. He made a vow to God and a commitment to God. I'm not gonna eat that meat. And I think Daniel probably would have starved to death. But he made a promise. He said, God, I'm gonna keep my promises. We need young people today that will make genuine, Holy Spirit-led promises to God that you're not going to defile yourself. And when you do, oh, listen, God will bless your life. The sweetness and the kindness and the gentleness of God just comes through when you say, Lord, I made a promise to you. I'm going to keep my promise. It's a blessing. It's a joy. And there's a third thing he did not defile is his partners. And I call them his friends. You know, he had the right kind of friends. He had friends that wanted to serve the Lord with him. He did not have the kind of friends that would tempt him and lead him to do the wrong things. You know, sometimes oil and water just don't mix. You don't want to get around friends and have close friends in your life that allow you to break the rules and do things you shouldn't. You know why? Because it only hurts you. He had the right kind of friends. And you know, oftentimes the kind of friends in life that you have are the friends that you're becoming like. Those friends are what you're becoming like. That is the pattern you're following. And may I tell you what? Daniel had good friends. He had godly friends. And you know, he wasn't worried about being cool. He wasn't worried about being cool. He was worried about pleasing God. Oh, we need a new generation of young people today that say, I'm going to please God and I'm going to have the right kind of friends and the right kind of companions in my life. Do you have that? Do you have the right kind of friends? You see, when Daniel purposed in his heart, notice what God did for him. God blessed him. Verse number 20, it says, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his world. You know why? Because he had a purpose in his heart that he was going to serve God. God blessed him and God used him in a wonderful way. You see, young person, God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for you. Listen, you weren't born because of some wrong reason. God allowed you to be born at the time you did, in the way he did, for his glory and his honor in your life. God allowed that. God did that for you. It's no accident that you're here at this time and in this place and in the home that God, it's no accident. God had a plan and he had a purpose for you. And he wants you and I to just purpose to love the Lord with all your heart. You know the first great command in all the Bible? It says, Jesus said it himself when he was tempted of the lawyers. He said, the first and greatest commandment, shalt love the Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, thy soul, thy strength, and thy mind. Well, that's the first and greatest commandment. And young person, when the day of temptation arises you, remember something. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. When the bad friends come around you in life, or that bad thing comes on that phone, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. When that other lifestyle across the fence and you get tired of living a Christian life and think it's boring and dead. Reminds me of the little boy who carried his Bible to school. And the bully came up to him and said, why are you carrying that Bible to school? You must be a sissy. The little boy gave him his Bible and said, then you carry it. Amen? You carry it. You see, it's a real Christian that can stand for God in the face of temptation. Remember something. God loves you and he's got a special plan for you. And don't let Satan's desire snuff out the wonderful, blessed purpose that God has for you. Don't live your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, and your 70s with regret of what you did in your teens and 20s. Don't live that way. Purpose in your heart like Daniel did, that he would not defile his purity, his promise, and the partners of friends that he had around him. He was going to serve the Lord. Have you decided that? Is it set in stone and in your mind and in your heart? I'm going to serve God. I don't care what happens. I'm going to serve God. Oh, hear me, my friend. Young person, do it today. Trust the Lord. You say, preacher, that's kind of heavy preaching on me today. Let me tell you something. You can do what God wants you to do. Yeah, you can. You can let God use your life. And I trust that you will let God have your life. Daniel, why did God use you? Why were you so blessed? He said, I started out. Didn't matter what circumstances were around me. He said, I'm going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to live for him. And I'm going to serve him. There's a young lady, I'll close with this story. There's a young lady in California today who grew up, bus captain stopped by their house when they were kids and started picking them up. And who didn't know it, but the little girl was abused in her life. She was abused. And her mother would actually do things, strange things to her, pull her hair out. And she grew up with that life. It would have been so easy for her in the bitterness of how she grew up to just say, I'm done. I'm done with this church thing. I'm done with God. God, you weren't good to me. Look at what you caused. It'd be easy for her to say that. But this young lady let God in her heart and her life. She let God control her heart and her life. She went to Bible college. She started serving the Lord, went to Bible college. All the odds against her. But she just purposed in her heart she was going to serve the Lord. She met a young man there who was a preacher. Can I tell you what? That girl today is a preacher's wife. She is happy and joyful, serving the Lord. She doesn't live in bitterness about her past. She lives in joy for today of what God has given her. You know why? Because one day she decided that she was going to purpose in her heart that she's going to live for God. Can I tell you, Jolene Sloan today is married to a preacher who loves the Lord and serving the Lord. Young person, you have no idea all the good things that God has in store, but you'll never know them unless you put your faith and your trust and purpose in your heart that you're going to serve Him. Would you do that? Would you purpose in your heart? You say, well, I've made a few mistakes already. Hey, it's not over. Start where you are at and give God your heart. Give Him your all. Don't live your life in regret. Live your life like Jolene Sloan is today, with joy and peace in her heart. She made the right decisions. How about you today? Let's bow our heads this morning.